We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chris Phillips from the Spurs Up Show will be joining us in the next segment. It's a Gamecocks media outlet. They do a bunch of different things. They have articles, videos, social media, podcasts, etc. Chris Phillips from the Spurs Up Show joining us in the next segment. I'm going to ask Chris Phillips the following question, okay? What is, on a scale of 1 to 100, what is Will Muschamp's approval rating in terms of your confidence level that he's the right man for the job moving forward? 1 to 100, okay? What's your confidence level he's the right man for the job, again, moving forward for the South Carolina Gamecocks? And then what is his impression of what the fans of the Gamecocks, approval rating of Will Muschamp is moving forward? That's what I will ask Chris Phillips in the next segment, so we look forward to bringing that to you here today. I saw something very interesting about Tom Brady the other day, and he went to speak to Michigan in the offseason. Lonzo loves this audio. He's a huge Tom Brady fan. You just haven't realized it yet. And tell me this doesn't get you fired up.
I didn't have an easy experience. I didn't have come in as a top-rated recruit. I didn't come in with the opportunity to play right away. I had to earn it. And you know what the greatest honor I've ever received as a player is? In my fourth year and my fifth year, I was named team captain. That, to this day, is the single greatest achievement I've ever had as a football player. Because the men in this room chose me to lead their team. And these were my best friends. These were the guys that knew that I liked to work, that knew that I loved football, that knew that I loved to play, that knew that I wanted to be the quarterback for Michigan. And all the lessons that I learned here on State Street and in the big house, that's still what I bring to practice today. And after 14 years, I love the game more than I've ever loved it. But where did I learn to love for the game? Where did I learn to practice? Where did I learn to compete? It was sitting in the same chairs that you guys are sitting in today.
It's hard to listen to that, Lonzo, not get choked up.
All I heard was, I deflate balls.
You had this.
I cheat. I was suspended for four games for lying.
You've had this wise-ass grin on your face the entire time that was playing, like you weren't buying 1 second of it.
Here's the thing is, I can see where this would be uplifting to Michigan players and could see where they could go someday, possibly, if they stick to their guns and they try really hard, or if they cheat like Tom Brady did. I mean, so you got two angles there.
Oh, dear God. You're still on that cheating thing, right?
Someday you can cheat and be a system quarterback and reach the heights where they call you the GOAT even though you're not. This is what you can achieve by going to Michigan. Go Blue.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been heavy on the felonies and misdemeanors the last week or so on the show, and I think the deflating balls, Deflategate, is very much a misdemeanor. Okay, so I don't appreciate you deflating Tom Brady's balls here on the show.
Just a little bit. It's okay.
Yeah, just 100%. Just cheating a little bit. You know, it's something everybody does. Everybody gets a competitive advantage somewhere, right? So kind of going through, and Tom Brady did not play in New England's 31-3 win over the Detroit Lions. Sorry about that, Patrick Brown. Jarrett Stidham was 14-for-24. The fourth-round draft pick out of Auburn, Brian Hoyer, 12-for-14 for the New England Patriots, as even in the preseason, they kick everybody's tail. But throughout the end, and look, Tom Brady said, look, when I became captain my fourth or fifth year, again, Cleveland Farrell just became captain of the Raiders his first game. That shows you what they think of their investment in that kid. That shows you what they think about their investment in Cleveland Farrell, the person. And, you know, it's possible that people can be wrong about a player. You know, a lot of guys don't remember this, but when the New York Giants selected Odell Beckham Jr. with the 12th overall pick in the draft, many people said he's going way before he should go. I mean, that was a guy that he's supposed to be a late first-round pick. They took him 12th. Oh, man, they're reaching for need there, reaching for need. Well, if you just happen to be convinced that your player is a stud and everyone else might be a little bit wrong on him, off on him, why not take your guy? I mean, I think Cleland Farrell is a stud. I think he's a stud off the field. I think he's a stud on the field. And every single Clemson player that I've met has been nothing but incredibly kind, gracious with their time. CJ Spiller said to me, "It's so nice to meet you, Mark. I've listened to your show. It's so nice to meet you." Right? I mean, like, Lonzo, you could say BS if you want, but I think it's an incredibly nice touch, and it's some. It's part of the culture.
I have an autograph from CJ Spiller on my wall. In there.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You allow yourself to have a Clemson autograph?
You know why? Because for like 14 years, I did a sports show where it was me and a Clemson guy going at it all the time. The Clemson guy got an autograph for me directed at me. He thought it was hilarious. I think it's funny, too. So I put it on the wall. It's in there. I can show it to you later.
There you go. CJ Spiller autograph. Okay. I do want to get to this, Lonzo, because I predict that you are going to be admitting you're wrong sooner rather than later on this. Now, Lonzo has said Kyler Murray is a bust, okay, is a total bust, that at 5'10", he's not going to be able to be successful at the NFL level. Well, let's check in with what Kyler Murray did in his first NFL game.
He'll throw from his end zone here for the first time, and he hits Demir Byrd. Murray to throw here on third down. Has time, and hits Sherfield for a first down. And Murray rolling out this time, zips it to Sherfield. Another first down catch for the second-year pro out of Vanderbilt in 2018.
Well, a lot of completions there from the bust.
Set up the
amazing
screen here to Johnson. Even on a pass like that, it's thrown perfectly to Johnson
perfectly
on the run past the 30-yard line. Chase Edmonds now in the game at running back next to Murray. He'll throw it again, and on the money again. Big hit by Davis, but it's a first down catch. So Murray 5 for 5.
5 for 5.
And you don't see that in the NFL very often. The RPO where it looks like he's going to run and he throws at the...
Wow. Well, what do you know? 6 for 6 for Kyler Murray and Lonzo. Yes, it's a preseason game. Yes, you feel like he's a bust. Are you coming off of your bust stance at all?
Daniel Jones. What did he do in his first drive?
It was very solid.
He went 6 for 6 and a touchdown.
Very solid.
Mm-hmm. And everyone has talked about what a mistake it was for the Giants to get him.
Still believe that.
And I would bet that he will have a better season than Kyler Murray.
Well, Kyler Murray has no offensive line behind him, so I think a lot of guys would have better seasons.
Well, the Giants probably will be last in their division. Arizona will probably be last in their division.
So you guys are aware here. You guys are valued listeners of Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. You guys are valued listeners, are keen to what constitutes a bust. What are the laws of being a bust? Because we need to establish the criteria here for Lonzo, because Lonzo's come out and said Kyler Murray will be a bust. Is a bust out of the league in 3 years? Is a bust a first-round pick who's never more than a backup? What is a bust? I mean, define bust for me, ladies and gentlemen. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The text line is there for you. It's 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, where our policy is, if you're following us and you tweet the show, we will get to your tweets on the show. At ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air, and email the show, Mark Ryan at ESPNUpstate.com. Lonzo, you and I, right here, right now, need to establish, because it's the only way to hold yourself accountable.
Right, and I thought of a couple of examples.
Okay.
All right, is Jameis Winston a bust?
No.
Really?
No.
How well have they done anything with him?
No, he's not a bust.
Is Marcus Mariota a bust?
No, they've made the playoffs.
In my opinion, Jameis Winston is a bust. Because of all the hype coming into him
he's
being
drafted.
He's
still the starter. After this year.
Has he been benched before?
Yes, he has. Well, wait a minute. I would say Jameis Winston, if he, everyone in Tampa, I know because I've lived there, is calling this a make or break year for Jameis Winston. If a year from now, Lonzo, he's no longer the Buccaneers quarterback, you can say, yes, Jameis Winston's a bust. I think he's in a make or break season right now. A bust is Jamarcus Russell. That's a bust. Okay. A bust is Ryan Leaf. That's
right,
a bust.
Give me a recent bust, though. Can you think? I mean, those guys have been, that's been, what, a decade since those guys have played? Maybe more so in Ryan Leaf's case.
A recent bust, EJ Manuel.
Okay. Your buddy.
EJ, well, that's what happened. I mean, I'm not hating on the guy. It busted in the NFL for him, right? He had a cup of coffee as a starter, didn't play anymore, right? And then got kicked around and didn't get to play again. All right? It didn't get to play again. So he's a Christian Ponder is a bust. Where's he at in the NFL? Right? RG3 is a bust.
Okay, see, there we go. RG3, definitely a bust. But is it their fault when they have a lot of injuries? I don't know.
So he's still a bust because you didn't get your money's worth out of him, but it's not really his fault that he's a bust.
Is Kirk Cousins a bust?
No.
Why?
Kirk Cousins isn't a bust. Anybody making $30 million is not a bust.
He's more likely to still be horrible.
Kirk Cousins is more likely to have a bust made of him in Canton than fit your definition of bust.
Out of the most outlandish things you've ever said since being on this program, that has
okay.
to take the
so
cake.
So we need, ladies and gentlemen, your help in defining what constitutes a bust, because clearly Lonzo and I can't seem to agree on what that is. I will say this, Lonzo. I would say year two or year three, he's no longer the starter, and it's not just that he's benched for a game, like they've taken him out for good. If you're the number one pick in the draft and you're not the starter year two or year three, you're a bust. But I think if he puts up Pat Mahomes, like if he starts going nuts in the NFL, running and scrambling, you should be able to admit that you were wrong within the first month of the year.
By the way, if he does that, I will admit that I'm wrong, because obviously I will be wrong. I don't see that happening, especially in the offense that he's going to be playing in, but we'll see. And then also, we need to look and see who they play in the first three or four games. They may have a really weak schedule, and it may make him look better than what he is. But if he is not a bust, I have no problem with admitting it. But first of all, I got to figure out what a bust is.
You got to figure out what a bust is. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. What are the criteria for busting in the NFL? Your thoughts, your opinions, your calls, very, very welcome here on the show. Let's see. Sports and Culture is tweeting into the show here, and I'm not yet sure what he said. Glad you guys are addressing this 27 minutes ago. I don't know what he was talking about. Do you?
We were talking about your take, I think, on the Clemson thing, what someone told you or something. I think that's
okay.
what we were talking
okay.
about.
Okay, and he says fans are more divisive due to television sports shows. They're 100% divisive on there for ratings. People get the majority of their sports information from what they see or garbage hot takes from television analysts. That's why I don't watch anything. The takes coming in there from Sports Culture. By the way, our guy Tim Frisbee from South Carolina at the Gamecocks wants to. He said, "Mark, I got to come at you for a couple of things from yesterday." I said, "Tim, anytime you want to come on the show, you're more than welcome. Even if you want to come at me, you're more than welcome to do that here on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina." All right, coming your way next. Chris Phillips runs a popular South Carolina Gamecocks podcast. It's called the Spurs Up Show. Chris and I will debate a number of South Carolina-related topics still out there for you, including Will Muschamp. What's his confidence level, 1 to 100, that Will is the right guy for the job long-term? Chris joins us next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, great to be here with you. Monday edition of the show. Lots of great stuff coming your way between now and the end, including the makeup of a national title resume. in college football. What does that look like? That's coming your way at 3:20. Are video games to be blamed for mass shootings? Coming your way in either or. I know Lonzo will have a strong opinion about that. Plus, in the top three at three, there's no doubt about it what one very popular, immensely popular athlete should do with his career right now. And in honor of Antonio Brown being stubborn as all hell, the most stubborn thing you've ever done, Lonzo and I have ever done. We'll reveal those to you at 3:40 this afternoon. If you haven't heard this Antonio Brown story, I kind of feel bad for him because there's some mental issues there. It's obvious because he's clinging to something he shouldn't be clinging to right now in regards to his helmet. And it's not a great look, not a great look for Antonio. Okay. You know, in our industry, you come to respect different people, and we're all kind of competing for, in some way, a similar slice of the pie. But I've come to respect this person a whole lot. We've debated quite a bit on social media, but it's always been respectful. And he's developed a really, really good following for his show, the Spurs Up Show. 7,000 Twitter followers for the Spurs Up Show out of Columbia, South Carolina. Chris Phillips joins us right now on the show. Chris, good afternoon, brother. What's happening?
Hey, not much, man. Mark, appreciate you having me on. 19 days to kick off. Just counting down the seconds. The days start to get a little bit longer when we get to this point, the point in the month of August. Looking forward to talking some ball with you.
Absolutely, Chris. So it's going to be very surprising if you end up tweeting out this interview to your faction of listenership for them to hear this, because they're convinced that I hate all things Gamecocks with the fire of a thousand suns. But I actually think this is – I actually believe this is going to be – a very surprisingly positive season for the Gamecocks this year. I have them with a murderer's row schedule with a built-in excuse to be bad this year. I see South Carolina ending the year as a top 15 team with an 8-4 regular season record. I think they win all the games they're supposed to, and I think they win one out of their five games against the murderer's row. And it saddens me, Chris, to say that the best chance that they have, in my opinion, of winning one of those murderer's row games is against my alma mater, the University of Florida. I think home game against the Gators. Gators coming off against games with LSU and Auburn. I think South Carolina's got a great chance at that one. I say 8-4 this year. I think the Gamecocks shocked the nation, shocked the world, and I think people are feeling very happy about Will Muschamp after the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think an 8-4 record would certainly be exceeding expectations going into this season. You know, I've actually got the Gamecocks 7-5. I do have them beating the Gators in my preseason projections. I like the matchup at home, and it's just, as a South Carolina fan and someone who watched this team, I can't get that blown lead late out of my head last year down in Gainesville. So I think that's a team that if they're healthy, they can take advantage and beat Florida at home. The games that, you know, this season, I'll be honest with you, Mark, it kind of scares me a little bit for the simple fact of, I do agree with you. I think there's a lot of opportunity when you look at the schedule. I think the schedule's been talked about a lot, obviously, as it should be, but I think there's a lot of opportunity for it. But I just don't want Gamecock fans to get in this thought process where if South Carolina wins less than eight games per se, or even less than seven, that it's a complete disappointment that Will Muschamp and company should pack their bags. Because believe it or not, there are people out there that think less than an eight-win season and Will Muschamp should get packing. And I just don't want people to take that approach into the season. But I think if things go right, if Jake Bentley plays his best, the senior, if Tavian Feaster proves to be the guy that we think he can be, in the backfield for South Carolina, if the Gamecocks can find a way to replace Deebo Samuel. And I think if they can simply stay healthy on defense, because I think defensively they're as good as they've been since 2013, the last years of Jadeveon Clowney and Stephon Gilmore, and a lot of their big-time NFL guys we're watching right now. So, I mean, I think the opportunity is certainly there. They've got to stay healthy, and Jake Bentley's got to play well. But I just don't want Gamecock fans to also lose perspective of the biggest thing is we need to see progress this year. Now, what that means exactly, I'm not 100% sure. I think what I've got, I'm at 7-5 record. I think you continue to build the program. Like you're mentioning, you probably beat one of those big in the murderer's row. You beat one of those big five, the Florida Gators, which would be a ranked team, which is the biggest thing crippling Will Muschamp right now. His record against ranked teams, and everyone goes back to that record against him. His last win against a ranked opponent at South Carolina was 2016 against Tennessee. But certainly, your projections, an 8-4 record, I think would speak volumes. You'd have to have the chance at a ninth victory going to a bowl game, and I think it would show great positivity and great momentum moving forward as the Gamecocks continue to build this program under Will Muschamp.
Chris Phillips joining us here, founder of the Spurs Up Show, a very popular media entity here in the state of South Carolina. He's done a fantastic job building that and always delivers really, really good content on his site. I need to ask you this, Chris. On a scale of 1 to 100 right now, 1 to 100, your confidence level that Will Muschamp is the right man for this job moving forward. Moving forward meaning the next 5, 10 years, he should have this job. He should be the guy long term, right? Your confidence level, 1 to 100 today.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'd say about 65%, and I think I'm on the high side with people. I think people listen. I think people are still very wait and see with Will Muschamp, just because. And I was someone that, you know, I knew it wasn't South Carolina's first option when they hired him, but I think he's done a really, really good job what he's presented. He's not getting enough credit for the job he's done throughout the first 3 years. I mean, call it whatever you want, but he has the most wins of any coach in South Carolina history throughout the first 3 seasons, more than Lou Holtz, more than Steve Spurrier, and that is just fact. However, it's going to be very interesting to see. Again, I mean, the job that he's doing, I think, again, shouldn't be undersold. But to me, most South Carolina fans that I talk to are still very much wait and see. Very much they're saying 2020 is the year when he needs to break out. And I think one of the biggest things that I may have heard you talk about on your show or seen on social media, one of the biggest uphill battles that Will Muschamp is fighting that's a little unfair is the success that Clemson and Georgia are having. That's just driving people in Columbia, South Carolina, and throughout the state that are Gamecock fans batty, just seeing their two biggest rivals have unprecedented success. I mean, success like we've never seen in their history. So for me, I can speak for myself when I say I would like to see Will Muschamp at least get 3 to 4 more years, because I'm someone that fully believes in you can't build a program. You can't build a program letting coaches go every other 3-4 years. You've got to give Will Muschamp a chance, saddle him for the ride, let him get his recruits, let him build out his defense. Let's see if these blue-chip quarterbacks play out and go from there. But right now, my confidence that he'll be there, say, if we're talking a 5-year plan, I mean, I would say 65%, just because I'm not 100% sure. I mean, if we see them slip up and win 6 games, you never know what might happen.
Sure, sure. Okay, so we have one of our guys here in the building is Diddy, is a very, and I'm not going to say you're biased, Chris, because I don't think you are. Everybody has different perspectives, but his confidence ranking was 20. Okay, 20 on a scale of 1 to 100 that Will Muschamp is the guy. You even said yours might be high at 65. If we polled South Carolina's fan base, where is their confidence level today, 1 to 100, that Will Muschamp is the long-term right answer?
I think it's hovering around 50, might be 40 to 50%. In this season's really going to determine. I mean, like you're mentioning, if they go 8-4 this year, I think people are going to be saying 60-65%. If we see a team that goes 6-6 and God forbid misses out on a bowl game, you're going to be seeing a lot closer to 30-35%. So now I really believe, and the people I've talked to, South Carolina fans right now are still very in the middle. But this season's going to have a lot to say about their feelings on him regarding the future of the program.
All right, Mark keeps pointing at me because I'm sitting over here and I'm wearing a Gamecock shirt, and I've been wearing Gamecock gear every day since football started for a reason that he says he doesn't see anybody wear them, and I told him it just wasn't football season. It's football season now. I'm one of those guys. I'm probably like 30 to 35%, and here's the reason why. I didn't expect Muschamp to come in and go undefeated, but what I expected was a good defense, and all I hear is excuses about injuries. What I want to know from you as someone who's closer to the team, is this defense going to be better this year?
I think they are. I can tell you that the defense has me extremely excited this year. I mean, you heard me mention earlier, I really do believe this is going to be the Gamecocks' best defense they've had since 2013. Now, not excuses, but are there still questions regarding depth at certain positions? Certainly, but you take a look at where that depth question is, the secondary, where I think the Gamecocks, again, they have by far the most talent they've had in quite some time. You take a look at the defensive front. South Carolina finally looks like a defensive line. This is all, again, the injury excuse. People want to call it an excuse. I mean, South Carolina was playing 7 true freshmen at one point a year ago on the defensive side. I don't care which team that happened to in the country. It's just going to be hard for anybody to combat that. So, again, they've got to find a way to get over that because, again, people aren't going to live with that excuse forever. But this defense has me extremely excited. I think if you're a South Carolina fan, someone looking at this team, you have to think that the front 7 of this defense and really the back end of the defense as well can all be strengths for you, and that this defense can actually win you a couple ball games this season.
Chris, long-term coach question out of the way. How about long-term quarterback question? Helinski or Doty for the long-term?
Right now I'll say Helinski. I like Helinski, but Doty presents a lot. I mean, the dual threat. I mean, the biggest thing with him is that he can throw and run. So, Ryan Helinski, you look at him, he's a lot more of a traditional pocket passer type quarterback. But I think what's going to be more interesting to me is the way that they want to take this offense, because right now the offense is geared more towards a pocket quarterback with Jake Bentley. Do they want to continue to do that with Ryan Helinski and use his skill set? Because we saw, granted, it was the spring game, but he's got a good arm. He's got arm talent that's unprecedented. But Luke Doty gives you a much more Connor Shaw-esque attack, that dual threat, but can also throw the football. So I'll be interested to see kind of the direction they take the offense. I think that's going to determine a lot. But right now I'll give the nod to Helinski since he's on campus and will have the year of experience ahead of Doty when he gets on campus next season.
Okay, so I need, before we let you go, Chris, I have to get your thoughts on this viral mess I found myself embroiled in yesterday, leaving Clemson Fan Day. A media member said to me, at South Carolina, they do Fan Day for 1 hour, and they give you a small poster. Here at Clemson, they go for a full 2.5 hours in the heat of day and are handing out thousands of autographed books. They're national champs. They don't have to do this, but they do. Is Gamecock Nation right to call me every name in the book, Chris, for sharing this observation?
Well, the one thing I will say, and like you said, you clarified, you did not say this. Someone said this to you, so that's the first thing we need to put out there. I think, I'll be honest with you, Mark, I just think right now it is a sensitive time for South Carolina fans just because of, like I mentioned, the success that Clemson and Georgia have had. And Clemson fans, let's face it, have become darn near insufferable at this point due to the success they've had. But for you, Mark, I'll put it to you this way. If you've ever seen the documentary War Eagle Roll Tide, when I believe it was Greg McElroy, one of that documentary says, in this state, and we'll reference it to South Carolina, in the state of South Carolina, you're either orange and purple or you're garnet and black, and if you're neither, they both hate you. That's kind of the situation you're in. So I do feel for you in that regard.
So are you saying, Chris, I need to pick a side? Do I need to pick a side here?
Not necessarily embrace being the middleman, though. I think that's the thing. Because, and listen, we all know people take social media is a place for all rational thoughts and well thought out opinions and things of that nature. I'm sure we all understand that, right? But no, I think keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. It's talking season right now. You know, they say SEC Media Days is talking season. I feel like right now is really the midst of talking season. And once kickoff happens on August 31st or August 24th when Florida and Miami play, nobody's going to give a crap about any of this stuff we're talking about anyways. We're going to be looking at the game, so which is why I'm looking forward to them so much.
Chris Phillips, owner and founder of the very popular Spurs Up Show podcast. Do invite you to check him out on Twitter as well, where you can get to him at CPhilly19 and at the Spurs Up Show for his podcast. Very knowledgeable, insightful stuff, Chris. Thanks so much, bud. Let's do it again.
Absolutely, Mark. Anytime.
You got it. All right. Chris Phillips, the Spurs Up Show. Your thoughts on that particular interview. Welcome them. Look, he really likes the arm strength of Ryan Helinski long term. It's the quarterback position at South Carolina has never been in better hands than it is right now. It's really the perfect quarterback situation. You've got senior Jake Bentley, my opinion, one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the country. And you've got real blue chippers behind him waiting in the wings. Who's going to take this development year the most seriously and be the best quarterback a year from now heading into Gamecocks camp? All right, coming your way next, it's time to do a little ditty we call Either Or. Are video games featuring violence partly responsible for the rise in mass shootings? That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Check on Twitter. where Tim Frisbee, former South Carolina great, is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. Leave it to the Spurs Up show to defend Mark Ryan on air. What a bleeping joke. Thank you, Gamecock greats, for the kind words there. Allie Macer tweets into the show. Yes, Mark, you need to pick a side. There's no such thing as embracing the middleman. Lonzo, this is either or, so let's hit it with either or right now. All right, so in honor of Allie Macer here, who says, Mark, you need to pick a side. There's no such thing as embracing the middleman. Can you truly host a show in this area, Lonzo, without being a fan of either team, South Carolina or Clemson? Or will that inevitably result in more strife for me because both sides will hate you?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think you're the kind of guy who wants both sides hating you. So that's what you're going to do. I mean, it's been, what, 7 months? That's what I observe. So there are times when it seems like you're leaning one way, and then you'll come back and you'll go at the same side a different way. And I say stay in the middle. I don't think you have to pick a side.
Allie Macer, producer Lonzo, disagrees with you there. I don't know what your comeback to that is.
I picked a side. Right. I didn't have to, but I think the side was picked for me. And you haven't had that kind of situation. So, I mean, no one's come at you hard enough to make you say, you know what, that's ridiculous. I'll be rooting for the other team from now on.
I don't want people to hate me, Lonzo. That's true. I just want people to be able to be objective in ways that they're not currently showing me they're able to do. And again, most people can. But especially the social media crowd clearly cannot.
Here's the thing. As long as they put C when they spell Mark, that's all you should care about.
There you go. There you go. Okay. First real one up here on either or. Violent video games are being blamed in the rash of mass shootings that we're seeing today, Lonzo. You're a video game e-sport kind of guy. Are video games featuring violence partly responsible for mass shootings?
I don't recall seeing a story that said that any of these guys were avid video game players. Maybe it's out there and I just missed it. And when it comes down to it, you know what? Rock and roll was blamed for murders back in the day. I believe it I'm trying to think. There was a couple of big-time metal bands that got sued over it because they said the lyrics caused people to go out and kill themselves. People who are mentally disturbed and want to take someone's life are going to find a reason to go and do it. I think people who don't understand that kind of mental illness are trying to put blame on something else when the problem is us as a society being able to see the telltale signs that there's something wrong with someone.
Well, I think that's very eloquently stated by you. I will also say that the only mass shooting that has been staged surrounding a video game took place around a sports video game, Madden, not a violent video game. But the answer, the correct answer, Lonzo, is everything kills people. Everything you could possibly do kills some people. Do I think some people who are mentally unhinged might be more apt to open fire on random people because they played violent video games and enjoyed it? Perhaps. But I think that's well down the list of things we need to change in terms of mass shootings. I mean, that's like problem number 23 on the list. How about we address problems 1 through 22 first? There is very little linking that to killings. And so I think to hone in on that is missing the boat completely. What do you got, Lonzo?
All right. I'm going to talk about Antonio Brown, not what we're going to talk about him about later. I'm going to talk about him about a video game. Antonio Brown was on the cover of Madden last year. The game uses an engine called Frostbite. The load screen on the game showed a picture of AB and the Frostbite logo. AB recently suffered from frostbite due to
cryotherapy.
What
is the Frostbite logo? His feet?
No. Frostbite is the name of the engine.
Okay.
So it's just so the symbol of Frostbite. The engine is what it's what the game runs on. It's the code or whatever that the game runs on. So is this more proof that the Madden curse is a real thing?
100%. Never appear on the Madden video game, folks. Never. It's death, taxes, and the Madden video game screwing your life over. You don't ever do it. It's not an honor. It's a curse. And something weird will happen to you. And it's absolutely... Lonzo, curses are real. I'm absolutely a believer that curses are real. Never appear on that cover. Never walk on the lines. Never do those things.
Well, for one thing, I don't believe in curses, and if I did, I'd be really concerned right now because Patrick Mahomes is on this year's Madden
cover. Let's wait and see. If I was Patrick, I wouldn't be going down that road at all. All right, Lonzo, your 2019 Heisman Trophy winner is Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, or other?
You know what? I think those two have been in there. If I had to pick one between those two, I would go with Trevor because Tua has kind of fallen off the board everywhere. But I'm going to go with other because it always seems like there's a
front. Who is your other?
I don't know. It's okay. some Justin unknown
Herbert,
player.
Oregon is up there.
Some unknown player is going to come out and just wow everybody late and is going to pick up because a lot of times these guys come out, the campaigns start the year before, and people, you know, Trevor Lawrence needs to be the Heisman Trophy winner. This is why. And then someone comes out of the blue and captures everyone's attention. They've had all this in their face saying, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. Then someone's play on the field comes out and goes, hey, look at me. And that person wins, so I'm going with other.
Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman. But some of your others could be Justin Herbert, Oregon, Jake Fromm, Georgia, Sam Ellinger from Texas, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin, ETN from Clemson, DeAndre Swift from Georgia, Jerry Jeudy from Alabama could receive some consideration there. Some other popular names potentially on the list this year, but I think it's Trevor's to lose, and he's not going to lose it. Trevor Lawrence is your Heisman Trophy winner.
All right. So I was thinking, I must have been thinking about you, which I really try not to do, but sometimes I can't help it. When I saw the story, police in South Wales shared a mugshot on Facebook. This guy's hairline was comical for a 21-year-old. The image was shared 14,000 times and commented on over 80,000 times. The police were unhappy about this. They said, if you say something about someone which is grossly offensive or is of an indecent, obscene, or menacing character, then you could be investigated by the police. Who's more at fault?
Okay, what was the hairdo?
It was, you'll have to look at, he has a receding hairline and he's got like, it's a weird mohawk that sticks in odd shapes. We don't have enough time left in this hour for me to describe it. But who's more at fault, the police, the trolls, or the bad hairline?
The bad hairline is not, you can do whatever the hell you want with your hair. What's up with that? Why can't you do with what you want with your hair? It's your hair.
So who's at fault? I mean, the police for putting it on Facebook or 80,000 people for commenting, not trying to help the police find this guy, but making fun of the guy's hairline?
Not the police. It's the guys at fault for being an idiot.
Exactly. Here's the thing. If you are going to commit a crime, and you know in your heart if you are a bad guy and you're going to commit a crime—
You don't have something that makes you so obviously detectable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, get a better hairdo before you do that. I mean, obviously it's this guy's fault.
God, they'll never know who this guy is. He's the only one in the world who has this hairdo. How could anyone possibly find this guy?
But when you're in prison, hey, say, dude, 80,000. 80,000 people like my hair.
Most certainly did. All right, coming your way next on the show, the fans I respect the most are blank. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. Monday edition of the show. Appreciate you so much. There are different kinds of fans, and there's no doubt about it. We've shared with you on the show the three categories of female sports fans previously. Category one is the husband has to bribe the wife in order to be able to watch sports. Here, honey, Clemson's on. I'll give you $150. Just please don't bother me for 4 hours. That's a category one female sports fan. Category two female sports fan. They enjoy the social element of sports. They may even get into their team's biggest games. They like going to Super Bowl parties. They like watching Clemson play Florida State if they're a Clemson Florida State fan. But if they are a Clemson fan, they don't really care too much if Florida State's playing Wake Forest. And the category three female sports fan is she's a Clemson fan. You ask her if she'd like to go see a movie, and she says, I'm not going anywhere. Florida State is playing Wake Forest. Again, she's a Clemson fan. She's not going anywhere because her rival is on TV. Those are the three categories of female sports fans. There's also categories of sports fans in general. And on the show, what I've gleaned is that we have a really kind a really kind, you know, an active audience, and it's a higher intellectual level than what you get on social media. There's no doubt about that. Like we get smart takes, we get smart calls, we get smart interaction. The people that I've met out in public, I felt, man, that was a really smart guy. Like I feel strongly about that in terms of our active listening audience. But the social media crowd, man, I mean, you guys wouldn't believe it, and I don't know how many of you could take the level of abuse that I take on social media daily. But, you know, it's really kind of the bottom of the barrel in terms of the way people treat one another, the way people treat other people. The fans that I respect the most out of any subset of fans are those who can be objective. Those who, yes, you have your side. I'll always be pro-Florida and against Florida State as it pertains to what takes place on the field, right? I'm rooting for the Florida Gators. But those people who can, you know, they're not just going to blindly always walk off the ledge with their leader. They're not going to always blindly defend their school to the death in each and every debate, in each and every argument. So if you're just listening, as you may or may not know, yesterday I went viral yet again for sharing something that a media member shared with me when I was at the Clemson Fan Day yesterday, right? And the media member said to me, at South Carolina, they do Fan Day for 1 hour and they give you a small poster. Here at Clemson, they go for a full 2.5 hours in the heat of day and are handing out thousands of autograph books. They're national champs. They don't have to do this, but they do. I shared that publicly on Twitter. Every Clemson fan was retweeting it and liking it, and every South Carolina fan on social media was cursing me out. Why does it have to be that way? I mean, why do you have to take sides to such a degree like that, man? It just doesn't make sense to me. I value those of you. I respect those of you who can truly be objective. Coming your way next in the Moe's Southwest Grill Top 3 at 3. He's one of the most popular athletes in the country, but it's time for a career change.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.